One Hand Speaks. Hey, hey, my friends. This is Alejandro Anastasio with the One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast. Humorous, intimate, and enlightening one-handed stories about life and beyond. This is a true-to-life story of my college application process to get into Indiana University and the University of Washington. In today's podcast, I will be sharing with you simply my college application process. And I'm going to share this because it's actually two quite funny, interesting, amazing stories overall. And I normally don't tell people these stories. I've done it in the past, and it's had some very interesting results regarding people's responses. Some people get very upset. Other people are uncomfortable. And other people simply laugh it off as good fortune, good karma, blessings, whatever you want to call it. But I just learned early on in both cases, both for Indiana University and the University of Washington, the best thing I could do is just keep that a very subtle, mysterious secret on my behalf. And of course, the older I get, the less people ask me about college. And now that it's been so long since I started college, I think these are great stories to tell because they're just unique and they're hilarious and in some cases, rather funny. If you have been following my podcasts, you probably know as a child, as a young adult, a teenager, when I was in high school, I was rather rebellious. And at that time, I didn't really think about going to college that much. Mostly I wanted to work and travel. I thought a little bit of time off would be great. However, my parents, who were both immigrants, father came from Italy, mother came from Mexico, stressed highly the need to go to college right away. And in retrospect, I think it was a really good idea that they put me in that position. I didn't really think I was going to college, and in my senior year, I didn't even, fill out college applications. I attended St. Joseph High School, which is a Catholic school. I pretty much went to Catholic school 15 out of 16 years. I'm Buddhist right now, but I got a good education. And St. Joseph High School is the preparatory high school for Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana. Many kids that I went to school with at St. Joseph were very interested in going to Notre Dame, and many of them did. And I'm bringing this up because scholastically, it was a little bit challenging at St. Joe High School because they ran on a 5.0 grading scale, which means if you took advanced classes, you could earn up to a 5.0. If you just took regular classes and got all A's, you could earn up to a 4.0. And if you were in remedial classes, and they had those at St. Joe, and you got all A's, you could only get a 3.0. Now, I was in just standard average classes. However, I think I had a 2.2 grade point average. Not very good, generally, because, as I mentioned, I was fairly rebellious. The requirement where I wanted to go to college, Indiana University, was at that time, in 1987, you had to have a 2.0 grade point average and be in the top half of your class. At my high school, that was pretty much impossible. Therefore, it was generally thought that I wouldn't make it into Indiana University, which was no problem for me because I really had no intention of going to college at that time. And through senior year, really, many students are, preparing for college. They're applying for schools, they're filling out applications, they're sending out envelopes, they're doing all the big money thing, they're paying for their applications, they're doing all these things. Some kids are talking about sending out 20 applications to college. And really, that whole conversation was something that I wasn't really that into because that wasn't, at that time, my goal. Now, let me tell you, we had a lot of nuns working at St. Joseph High School. They were in admin, they were teachers, and there was one sister that was generally looking out for me. Other than my high school ceramics teacher, my art teacher, Mrs. Hendricks, who actually changed my life, and I did a great podcast about that. I'll put a link in the resources. You can listen to that podcast because it's actually a fantastic podcast because it was such a fantastic and powerful powerfully changing moment in my life. However, this sister also looked out for me a lot. My parents would tell me that she would ask about me, and she was always looking out for me in school and making sure she was just kind of prepping me, guiding me a little bit in the right direction. And in a real way, I can say she was my guardian angel as a metaphor. Now, this is probably April, May, maybe March of 1987. It's my senior year. Everyone's thinking about graduating. Everyone's talking about leaving, things of that nature. I'm just thinking about getting some work and maybe doing some traveling. I'm walking through the hallways, and out of nowhere, here's this sister, this nun. She approaches me, and she just looks at me, and she says, she grabs my arm, actually, in the hallway, in between classes. You know, I'm kind of in a hurry. We're all in a hurry. She just grabs me, and she says, "Alejandro, can I talk to you?" And she takes me into her office, and she asks me if I want to go to college. Now, I was a little thrown by that question because people ask me that a bit. My parents were giving me a lot of pressure. I just pretty much had the whole no thing going. And it's interesting because when she asked me, I basically said, well, I haven't really given it a lot of thought. And at this point, this year might not happen. It's just something that I'm not thinking about at all. And she paused and she asked me again. She said, "Alejandro, do you want to go to college?" And I looked at her and I asked her why. And she said, "Well, I can get you into Indiana University right now if you want to go." And I took a double take. I was like, "What?" And she saw that I was a little confused by the statement. So she said it one more time. She said, "I can get you into Indiana University right now if you want to go to college." And I said, "Well, what does that mean?" And she said, "Well, if you fill out this form, you sign this piece of paper." It was one signature. "You sign this piece of paper." I'll say it again. She said, "I can get you into Indiana University right now." And she just looked at me. As I mentioned, I was very rebellious in high school, on the verge of getting expelled a number of times. And she knew this. And she's looking right at me. Now, I may be rebellious, but I'm certainly not stupid. I just grabbed the pen, I grabbed the paper, and I signed the form, and I gave it back to her. And then I said, "What did I just sign?" And she said, "This is an affirmative action program for minorities to help support them to get into college, to get a start." Now, in 1987, when I was a senior in high school, affirmative action was a big deal on both sides of the coin. There were people for it and there were people against it. And it was a hotly debated government process or whatever it was. It was just this thing that was offered was hotly debated. And she had mentioned that. And she said, "Look, Alejandro, this is not a free ride. This is just an opportunity to get your foot in the door. And you have to go for an early session. So you have to do, I think it was 8 weeks." So she said, "There is no hanging out your last summer in South Bend, Indiana. You will have to go down to Bloomington, Indiana, and attend these preparatory college classes that kind of get you ready, get minorities ready." She said, "You're half Hispanic, half Italian, and you have a disability. So you fit the bill. This will help prepare you for college, at least give you a taste. And if you can get through that, you can attend 1 year. And then if you do good that year, well, then you're on your own." So she said, "There's no guarantee here. It's all up to you." And I thought, well, great, I'll get into college. Of course I'll go to college. Because at that point, I had not taken any SATs. I've taken no preparatory tests. And I've filled out no applications, and And let me say this one more time. And as the clincher, on paper, there is no way I can get into Indiana University because they want a 2.0 and you have to be in the top half of your class, which, as I mentioned, at St. Joseph High School at that time, it was impossible. So I thought, I knew, this is a good idea. And I kept it kind of quiet for a while because all I did to get into college was sign a form. And I didn't say much. And then as kind of the weeks went by and people were talking about what colleges they were going to and all these kind of things, the moment came where I was directly asked. Now, I got to tell you, I must mention this. A lot of people didn't think I was going to college at that time. And we had a very cliquey-driven high school. There was your athletes, your pretty people, troublemakers, all of that. And everybody was kind of in their own little group. And I'm hanging out with my crew during lunch, and everyone's talking about what college they're going to. And then this girl that I went to high school with, her name was Melinda. She turned at me with a little bit of attitude, and she said, "Alejandro, are you even going to college?" And I paused for a moment, and I smiled, and I said, "Yes, as a matter of fact, I've been accepted into Indiana University." Oh, and she got so upset. She just started fuming. Her expression changed so fast. And she said, "Alejandro, I know you don't have a 2.0. I didn't get into Indiana University. I can't believe you got into Indiana University." Oh, she was upset. Wow. And that was one of the moments I realized I should probably keep this a little bit quiet. I don't need to be telling people what my GPA is or was, or the fact that I never took my SATs or I never took a college entrance exam or I never even applied for college. I should just not mention that. So at that point, I kind of stopped talking about it. And then I had to do my last summer before college, I had to go to Indiana University on this affirmative action program, and it's just me and about 300 other minority students, and they're just giving us a chance. And it's interesting because in our first orientation, the person that was speaking to us, these were all minority teachers at Indiana University, they said, "Okay, look to your left and look to your right." So we all looked to our left and we looked to our right to the people sitting on each side, and they said, "Okay, are you one of the three or not? Because only one out of three of you will make it through their first year." And that kind of hit me. I was like, "Oh, okay, this is a good opportunity. I need to really do the best that I can to get through this summer program and to make it through my first year of college, because after that, I'm pretty much solidified and I'm in." And it's interesting because I'll tell you what, people were dropping like flies after one semester, after our summer program was over and then we were in the dorms. People were dropping like flies. I couldn't even tell you how many people actually graduated that were in my initial affirmative action program. Regardless, I made it. I got through the first 3 months, and then I got through my first year, and I had a great first year at Indiana University. I met some great people who I am still friends with today, and I've reconnected with some of them, my really good friend Eric and my really good friend Sean over Kicking It in Indiana, who I've been spending some time with, doing Comic-Cons with. These guys are dear friends of mine, and they're still friends of mine now. And a lot of that goes to being able to get through this program. So that's one story, just getting through Indiana University and just getting through this affirmative action program. The main part of the story is that I got into college without taking my SATs, no college entrance exams, no college applications, nothing. All I did was sign one form. And to this day, I still reflect on that as a result of my very good karma. Very good karma. But then, 3 years at Indiana University, I wasn't really doing that well. I didn't have that great of a GPA. I still think I was rocking a 2.2. But my main thing in college was, I just wanted to learn. I wanted to come out of college and be more intelligent. I didn't want to just have good grades, because there were a lot of people I was studying with that had a lot of good grades, but they cheated a lot. They weren't necessarily more intelligent. And I wanted to be more intelligent. And I took just a lot of diverse classes. I took a lot of things that stretched my intelligence. I spent a lot of time making art, but I never took art classes in college. I took a lot of just weird science classes and things that would really push my parameters, and I fell in love with sociology, and that ended up being my major. But after 3 years at Indiana University, I realized I wanted to move, and I had an uncle that lived 20 miles south of Seattle, Washington. He lived in this city called Kent, and 10 years earlier, we put up his daughter for a couple of years. We took care of his daughter. And then I thought, well, maybe he'll put me up for a couple of years. So I called him up and I said, hey, Uncle Vince, would you be willing to put me up? Could I come out and live with you for a while as I try to get into college out in the Pacific Northwest area? And he said, sure. So the next thing you know, I'm packing up all my gear and I'm moving out west. Now, here I am, hanging out in Kent, Washington. I got my eyes set on the University of Washington. As time passed, I ended up getting a job at Eddie Bauer. There was one person I was working with who was talking about applying to the University of Washington, and I told him that I was also applying to the University of Washington. I have 3 years from Indiana University, and I would really love to go to school in Seattle. I really wanted to rock Seattle, because Indiana University, the college, is bigger than the town. Very small town there, Bloomington, Indiana. But here in Seattle, in Washington, it's the other way around. The city's much bigger than the university population. And I loved the idea of urban education, of going to school on a campus that was in the middle of the city. I thought that was great. And I really had my goal set on the University of Washington. This guy that I worked with had mentioned that he was applying to the University of Washington, and he said, oh, I'm out of state, and out of state, if you don't have a 3.75 GPA, they're not at all interested in looking at you. And I didn't tell him, I didn't want to tell him how low my GPA was, but I was still going for it anyway. I was like, well, this is what I want to do. I'm going to fill out the application. I'm going to apply. I'm going to do all these things. Now, I reflected back on my initial process. I got in under affirmative action, so I looked at the University of Washington to see if they had any kind of minority program or affirmative action, something along those lines that might be able to give me a little bit of an in, like a little bit of a boost. And I found something. They had some kind of minority program. It wasn't necessarily affirmative action, but it was a program that took applications for minorities, and they would pick some of the really good ones, and they could get into college with maybe less of a GPA. Now, their requirements were very strict also. I had no idea it was so difficult to get into the University of Washington. And right off the bat, the guy that I was working with pretty much told me there is very little chance that I will actually make it in this year as a non-resident, out-of-state student with my GPA being a 2.2. He said, really not a chance, but I'll help you fill out the application anyway. We'll get everything square and we'll send it in. Okay, so I filled out my application and I sent it in, and now I'm just waiting. Now, mind you, in 1991, just kind of on the edge of the World Wide Web coming out at the time, internet's becoming a big thing, and I'm telling you all this because basically I'm just waiting for that thick envelope to show up. Now, this is the only college I applied for that year, and I'm talking to my friend, and he's saying, yeah, you know, you get these applications, because he sent out a bunch of applications, and he's like, you know, you get them back. If they're thin, you didn't win. If you're thick, you're in, this kind of thing. Thin, no win. And I was just waiting. I was just waiting every day for this application. Every day, waiting. And then I'm even calling in like, oh, did you guys send out that application? Did you send out the replies? Is this going to be coming? And then one day, I walk out to the mailbox, and there's an envelope there from the University of Washington. Oh, and I had to back up from the mailbox. I was so excited. You know, I just opened up the mailbox. I saw the University of Washington logo. I shut the mailbox. I backed up. I was like, okay, let me ease into this with some smoothness. So I rolled back up to the mailbox and I opened up the mailbox and I saw that, yes, that is from the University of Washington and that envelope looks pretty thick. I was a little bit stunned and I grabbed that envelope. Oh, and it was heavy and it was thick and I was doing the happy dance outside. I was throwing down. I was so excited. I couldn't believe it. And I ran back inside. I just ran back inside. I opened up that envelope and I pulled out all those forms and I found the one that said that I was accepted to the University of Washington. Yes. And I'll tell you what, because I actually called that day, I called that minority program and asked them when I would be expecting that. And they said, well, we sent that out yesterday. There's a good chance you're going to get it today. And they were right. The funny thing is, about an hour after I opened up that letter, I got a call from the minority program at the University of Washington. And I answered the phone, and they said, may we speak to Alejandro? And I said, yes, this is Alejandro. They replied with, this is the minority program from the University of Washington, and we would like to talk to you about something. And I said, okay. And they said, well, you know, Alejandro, we kind of made a little bit of a mistake, and you're going to be receiving an envelope saying that you were accepted to the University of Washington, but that was actually a mistake. And then they were trying to keep talking, like, and they said, so if you get that, and I was like, well, not according to this piece of paper right here. This piece of paper says that I have been accepted to the University of Washington. And there was a slightly long pause. And the guy on the other end of the phone said, oh, you opened that envelope. And I said, yes, as a matter of fact, I did. And this piece of paper right here says that I have been accepted into the University of Washington. And then there was another long pause. And I could hear him put the phone down and talk to someone else. And then he brought the phone back up and he said, okay, Alejandro, we need you to come into the University of Washington today because you need to fill out a form. Because there's a clause that says if you opened an envelope that says you are accepted into the University of Washington, we cannot turn that down. But we need you to come in today and fill out this form. I really had no idea what the guy was talking about, but I got into a vehicle. I borrowed a vehicle. I got into a vehicle and I drove into the University of Washington like a banshee because I was not going to let that opportunity go by. I was not going to let that opportunity go by because he did state that they weren't supposed to accept me. But I got this form, I opened it, and there was some funky clause, and he said, you need to come in today and sign this other form. So I got there within an hour. Next thing you know, I'm in this guy's office, and he hands me this form, and I signed this form. I didn't even ask what it was until I signed it. And then I signed it, and I said, am I accepted into the University of Washington? And he said, as a matter of fact, Alejandro, you are. And this form acknowledges that you opened up that envelope before we called you, and therefore you are bypassed in based on our mistake. And I said, well, what mistake did you make? And he said, well, you know, Alejandro, we put your application in the wrong pile. And I tried hard not to just absolutely jump up and down, but I did show a little bit of just astonishment. And he said, yeah, I know. We put your application in the wrong pile and we didn't catch it. And when you called us earlier this morning, we told you that the applications went out. And then it took us a little bit of time to hunt that down. And we realized that your application was accidentally put into the accepted pile. And we weren't going to accept any. There were no out-of-state students we were going to accept this year through the minority program. And yours was supposed to go in the no pile, not accept. But somebody dropped it into the wrong pile, and we didn't catch it fast enough, and you opened that envelope. And he said, whatever it means, you're very fortunate to have opened that envelope before we called. And I was, because I got into the University of Washington on, well, someone else's mistake. And good timing on my behalf, because again, as an out-of-state student with a 2.0, I should have never gotten into the University of Washington. I should have never been accepted into the University of Washington in Seattle, Washington, but I was. And I was just so excited. I couldn't believe it. Nobody could believe that I got in. Now, after my experience with Indiana University, I didn't even mention anything to anyone, especially that guy who I worked with at Eddie Bauer, who did not get into the University of Washington. And I told him that I got in. I got in through a minority program, disability-based. I have a high GPA. I did tell a little bit of fib there, but I didn't want to go through that whole Melinda thing again. And I just, this time around, my karma really came clean, like really blossomed to be able to get into the University of Washington. And yes, that's where I graduated from. I earned a Bachelor of Arts in sociology. I just love sociology. I had such a great time studying sociology and just a number of other classes. I actually have another podcast about my physics teacher who inspired me to start telling stories. I'll put a link in the resources for that also, because that all happened at the University of Washington. And I got to say that I've met some very great people who I still know today, just like Indiana University. I got a really good friend named Dave, and he was the first person I met shooting pool at the University of Washington. And he said, you know what? You live too far away, because that semester I was taking the bus in every day. It was like 48 minutes, almost an hour on the bus to get from Kent, Washington to the University of Washington. Three bus exchanges. Yeah, it was a little bit too much. So I met this guy at the pool hall, Dave. So let's just call him Super Dave, the party warrior. And he's like, you should come meet some of my friends. And then who'd I meet? This other guy named Scott, this other guy named Todd, who I ended up living with in Boise. And then Drew, the bicycle dude who has a connection to Sunny Day Real Estate when that band broke up. Two of them went off and became part of the Foo Fighters. I've partied with those guys in a very indirect, low-key way. But I'll tell you, Sunny Day Real Estate at that time in Seattle when the grunge scene was big was just amazing musical scene. I was so fortunate to be living in Seattle in the early 90s. Wow. But Dave mentioned that I should just move to Seattle. There's no point in taking the bus. And so I went to the Student Union building and looked at their housing board. And I saw this ad that looked really cool. And they were looking for a really cool roommate. And I read this ad and I thought, you know what? I'm going to live here. And I actually took the ad off, despite the fact there was a sign that said, please don't remove any ads for housing. I took that thing off. I walked right over there, right over to the address. I knocked on the door, and who opened the door? Stacy and Niles. Now, these two guys are still very good friends of mine to this day, and I went to Stacy's wedding in Hawaii. I was his best man. Many good things have come out of being able to get into Indiana University on affirmative action with no application form, and then fluking into the University of Washington because somebody put my application in the wrong pile and nobody was paying enough attention to check it. So there it is. That's my story, guys. That's my story, gang. And it is an incredible story of getting into college in any way, shape, or form, because I see what a lot of people have gone through. I see what students today are dealing with, and I just am so grateful and humbled that I was able to get into both those colleges the way that I did.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.